The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Okay, it's time for our weekly music spot. We have Dee Reddy and John Cadell with us. Dee, I'm going to start with you. I don't think there was any surprise, was there, with the announcement that Electric Picnic 2020 will not be going ahead?
No, sadly not, Matt. Like, it's one that I think everyone could have seen coming for the last few weeks, but obviously the organisers had to hold on till they had their ducks in a row before they did anything, so that, you know, they could meet their responsibility to fans, artists, suppliers and all the like. What they've announced with it is that anyone who bought tickets for the event for this year can either avail of a refund from wherever they bought the ticket originally, or they can actually hold on to it and hopefully use it at next year's event, which I think is probably the best that people could hope for if they had a ticket.
Yeah, John Cadell, are you there with us? We don't have John yet, do we? Okay, John, we're trying to get some technology sorted out to get John there. Yeah, Dee, actually, when they announced the lineup back a couple of months ago, we did have the director of the Electric Picnic on with us. And I was quite surprised by his confidence that COVID-19 would all be sorted out in 9 weeks. There was a degree of optimism going on, but I suppose that's the nature of being a promoter, a concert promoter or an event promoter, that if you're not a positive person, you don't get the things on in the first place, I suppose.
Well, exactly. I mean, you probably wouldn't sign up for the job if you didn't believe that it could be done. I think as well, you know, when all this started to unfold, businesses just simply couldn't continue if they didn't have some sort of contingency plan for things going ahead. And a lot of festivals operated the same way, that they would just follow the government guidelines as they came through. And I think that's, you know, in fairness to Electric Picnic, that's what they've done alongside everyone else.
Indeed. I suppose the thing that everyone's going to worry about now is, are we going to get various events before the end of the year? We won't get the summer festival or autumn festival series mm-hmm. or season, but will we even have gigs towards the end of the year as lockdown is relaxed? Will the concert promoters actually go ahead if they're limited to 500 or 1,000 in a venue which might be suited and financially require a multiple of that number?
Yeah, it's just so hard to know, because outside of the promoters, I guess you have to think of the performers as well, and whether they'll want to put themselves at risk being it part of and performing in front of such a big crowd. And then you have actually the people going to the gigs. I know we chatted about this a couple of weeks ago, but you know, you have to be mindful of whether or not people will need to ease themselves back into group situations of that scale over a longer period of time. Because, you know, I think a lot of people, after being in lockdown for such a long period, will find it kind of hard to wrap their head around the idea of standing shoulder to shoulder with people in a big sweaty crowd. And that's understandable.
Okay, let's move on. I think John Cadell has now managed to get his technology sorted out and join us. John, it's a terrible thing that every week now, it seems, we actually have to mark the passing of a significant figure in music. And we have two that we have to do today. Let's start with Kraftwerk. The founder, Florian Schneider, died during the week at the age of 73. How significant a band will Kraftwerk be remembered as?
Well, it's even creepier than that, Matt, because not only are we mourning two more rock legends, we are mourning specifically innovative 70s keyboard players, three in the last week. And as you say, Florian Schneider, one of the founder members of Kraftwerk, passed away a few days back. They've often been called the electronic Beatles. They've been called the most influential band in the world. And it's hard to sum up why they are so revered. It's a lot to do with the fact that they made sounds that hadn't been made before. They started off as a sort of folk band using regular instruments. But more and more, especially with Florian and Ralph, they discarded the acoustic instruments and sort of developed their own vocoders, developed their own drum machines. And bit by bit, they just got into synthesized music, 100% synthesized music, and started making sounds and making songs that, although they sounded otherworldly, were actually very simple in their vocals and in their lyrical themes, and even in their musicianship. The Kraftwerk songs aren't complicated. They just sound a bit otherworldly, and they sound very sort of robotic, I suppose, is one thing that you think of when you think of Kraftwerk. You think the robots. They were very enigmatic as well. They didn't give many interviews. Everything they did was focused around the music. And indeed, they saw themselves as a multimedia band back in the early 70s, when the term multimedia probably meant music and film. But they were very, very sort of, the way they changed their use of instruments and went full forward with synthetic, for want of a better word, instruments, and had this incredible run of albums from 1974, certainly up to 1981, that they just kept on getting better and better and more exciting musically.
Let's hear a little bit of some of the music. We have little clips here from The Model from 1978 and Computer Love from 1981. Music survived the passage of time, do you think?
Yeah, I certainly think it has. I think there's an element to their sound because of what they paved the way for that's certainly almost timeless for where we find ourselves in time anyway. That may change. I think to go back to John's point, the fact that they started on analog instruments, I mean, Florian played originally the flute and I think the violin as well. What they're responsible for in terms of music history is almost like an evolutionary leap. Like before they came around, it was kind of hard, I think, for people to imagine that digital tools could be used to express human emotions and human sounds in any great creative way. And without them, you probably wouldn't have a lot of music genres that exist today in popular culture, like techno, like hip-hop, electronica, and synth-pop. Like, these are all very much part of the culture that we know today, but without the work of Kraftwerk, it's hard to see how we would have gotten there.
Okay. Also died in the last week, the man who's called the architect of rock and roll, Little Richard. Let's hear one of his most famous tracks. That's Good Golly Miss Molly, and let's hear a little bit of Tutti Frutti.
Just what? bomb to the east, she bomb to the west, but she's the gal that I love best.
Okay, John Cadell, are you a fan of 50s music, the type that Little Richard pioneered?
Yeah, I mean, like everybody who likes anything, any contemporary pop and rock music, by default is a fan of what Little Richard pioneered. It's actually impossible, Matt, for me to verbalize how important he was. I wouldn't do him justice. Suffice to say that James Brown idolized Little Richard. Otis Redding idolized Little Richard. Elvis Presley called Little Richard the greatest. You listen to McCartney and his live voice, or his raspy voice, it is Little Richard. It is a Little Richard impression. You think of Beatles songs like I'm Down. It is an homage to Little Richard. They say that Elvis was, that before Elvis there was nothing. Before Elvis there was Little Richard. After Little Richard came Chuck Berry and Elvis and Buddy Holly. Little Richard was, in his own words, the architect of rock and roll, far more than Bill Haley with his stupid Kiss curl and his Got Lucky Once song. Little Richard lived it. Little Richard invented it.
Okay, let's move from the dead to the living and to a man who turned 60 at the weekend.
Oh, Little Richard will never be dead, Matt. He'll never be dead.
Let's turn from the dead to the living and to a man who turned 60 at the weekend and released the 60 songs that saved his life. This is just a selection from that playlist. So what you just heard is Anarchy in the UK by the Sex Pistols, Everything I Wanted by Billie Eilish, Life on Mars by David Bowie, Ray of Light by Madonna, Wake Up by Arcade Fire, Freedom from Beyoncé and Born This Way from Lady Gaga. And of course, these are 60 songs that saved my life from Bono. What do you make of those choices, Dee, and what else does he have on the list?
It's an absolutely cracking playlist, Matt, in fairness to him. I have it here in front of me. He's got the Bee Gees, Killing Me Softly with his song. He's got Pearl Jam, Jeremy. He's got Bob Dylan most of the time. He's got some Elton John, some New Order, some Lou Reed, Sinead O'Connor. Like, it just goes on and on and on. It is an exceptional playlist. It's one that I'd be happy to listen to. And I just think, I have to say, hats off to him. It is such a lovely way to celebrate his 60 years on the planet, because he's kind of sharing the love and sharing his profile with all these other artists. And what he's doing around the playlist as well, which I think is really sweet, is he's writing a little individual fan letter to each of them. So Billie Eilish has a fan letter now from Bono explaining what her song means to him. And so does, you know, every artist on that list, or their family if they've since passed away. And I just think it's a nice way for people to get a little glimpse into how he looks at music. And I think it belies a great love of, you know, multi-genres. And I just think for the time that we find ourselves in now, brilliant. We've all got this great playlist that we can throw on. And it's not often that Bono gets, you know, kudos in the press, but I do think he deserves it for this one.
What do you make of it, John?
I think, Matt, in a stunning move of Bono-ness, out of the 60 songs, one of them was co-written by him, and the other two feature him. So, I mean, like, Bono is Bono to the core.
So which one did he co-write?
He co-wrote You May Be the Thief of Your Heart by Sinead O'Connor. He wrote that with Gavin Friday and Morris Caesar for In the Name of the Father soundtrack.
And what were the ones that he appeared on?
Kendrick Lamar and U2, Triple X is the name of the song. And the first one he lists in the list I have here is Luciano Pavarotti, Zucchero and Bono with Miseriere is the name of the song. But it's brilliant because
did save his life. I mean, maybe they're very, very important and special to him.
But then that means that he's sort of saving his own life.
There's also Frank Sinatra and Bono on
there
under my skin there. But to be fair, John, if you'd done a song with Frank Sinatra, you'd be bloody listing it in the playlist as well. No, I know I would.
I'm not criticising Bono. I just think it speaks to his innate Bono-ness that he's on actually four of the 60 songs, which is
what do you
about
mean
7%.
By his, what do you mean by his innate Bono-ness?
Well, you know what I mean by his innate
Bono-ness. No, I don't. I mean, spell it out. Spit it out, John Cadell.
Well, he's Bono. He's at the centre of everything. And even in a list of... Is he gonna write a fan letter to himself now about one of these songs? I mean it completely tongue-in-cheek. You know what he's like. Bono is involved in everything. Bono is everywhere. And he's even in his own list of the 60 songs that saved his life. I have not a bad word to say against Bono. I think I think his music over the years has been incredible. I really, really like him. I think he gets a desperately hard time. But even Bono would tell you that he's a bit of a pain in the arse.
Would he?
I don't know that he would say that himself. I do agree with John. I think he does get a desperately tough time. Like, I remember years ago being in El Salvador and chatting to some people about YouTube because they were mad about them. And I was with a big group of Irish people who kind of poo-pooed their fandom. And they were genuinely baffled why we wouldn't be, you know, really proud of having a band like that come out of Ireland.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a very Irish way.
Indeed. Okay, pick of the week, please, Dee. Yeah.
Pick of the week for me is the new Perfume Genius album that's coming out this Friday. It's called Set My Heart on Fire Immediately, which is a slightly overdramatic title, but it's a very, very good listen nonetheless. The song that I've chosen is this lovely track, Other Side.
Find you.
That is Perfume Genius. And John, what's your pick of the week, please?
Mine is Weezer's new album is called Van Weezer. It's sort of, I'm a kid you not, Matt, a tribute to classic Van Halen. And this song is the opening single. It's called Hero.
When I was a kid, I thought I'd save the world. Running around and chasing all the criminals. Swinging on a web, flying in the sky. Shooting lasers from my... It's not my place in life, not who I'm meant to be.
Okay, that's a bit of Weezer. Best tweet I've seen in a while comes in from Killian Fitzpatrick, who wants to know, when I wake up tomorrow, will I find that Apple has automatically downloaded Bono's 60 favourite songs to my iTunes library? As it turns out, I'm not sure it's on iTunes. I think it's on Spotify and YouTube that you get the actual list. Okay, yeah, we're out of time. List. John Cadell and Dee Reddy, as ever, thank you very much for being with us here on The Last Word of Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.